Your Grace, my Lord Bishops, Canon Porter, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to see so many people here today and welcome you all to the Church of Ireland Annual Theological Lecture. It is a pleasure tonight to have as our guest speaker for the evening the Most Reverend and Right Honourable Justin Welby, well known to all of you, Archbishop of Canterbury. Your Grace, you are most welcome to Queen's and to Belfast. The theme of this evening's discussions is reconciliation. And the Archbishop is certainly more than qualified to speak about this really important topic. For more than 20 years, his ministry has blended devotion to his parish communities with his church work around the world, especially in areas of conflict. He is no stranger to the challenges that societies face, societies in conflict, and the role that reconciliation in building a lasting peace plays. That part of the Archbishop's journey that we are familiar with began for him in 1989. Sensing a call from God, he stood down from his job with a large British oil company to train for ordination. And proving that no experience is ever wasted in life, his theology degree at St. John's College, Durham, focused on ethics, particularly in business, drawing on his own experience of the oil industry. After ordination to deacon in 1992, he spent 15 years serving Coventry Diocese. And in 2002, he was made a canon of Coventry Cathedral, where he worked extensively on reconciliation, both there but also in Africa and the Middle East. 5 years later, he was installed as Dean of Liverpool, where his church work around the world continued to focus on areas of conflict around the world. And in 2011, he returned to the place where his journey towards ministry began, becoming Bishop of Durham, and then the following year, he was announced as 105th Archbishop of the See of Canterbury. After being enthroned in March 2013, Archbishop Welby identified reconciliation as one of the three priority areas for his ministry. Within this, his focus lies on seven areas of the world, areas where the need for this ministry is particularly acute. And one of those areas is Northern Ireland. In his own words, reconciliation doesn't mean we all agree. It does mean, however, that we have to be comfortable and find ways to be comfortable with disagreeing. And that is something that we in Northern Ireland still grapple with. And while our society has changed immensely, politically, socially, economically, I'm sure every one of us in this room would recognize we still have a way to go. Recently, in conversation with my colleague John Brewer from the George Mitchell Institute for Global Peace, Security and Justice, he mentioned to me that peace is too important to be left just to politicians. Peace is a job in each of every one of us in this room and beyond this room in this society. But I would add to that that it's especially important for those of us involved in education. I'm also reminded of the comments of our centenary graduate Nelson Mandela, who, when he received his honorary doctorate from Queen's in 2008, commented that education is the most powerful weapon which you can use not only to further yourself, but also to change the world around you. And as a world-class institution in a society that is emerging from conflict, we are uniquely placed with a rich heritage connected right through to the heart of our society, but a seam of education and research that actually helps and drives solutions for conflict resolution, transformation, and peace building. Indeed, Queen's scholars, some of them in this room, particularly those from humanities and social sciences, have often been to the fore, offering calm, reasoned voices and reassurance, and indeed offering a space where difficult conversations can be had with careful reflection. People like Professor Joanne Hughes, a UNESCO professor, who has pioneered shared education programs enabling teachers, pupils to move between Protestant and Catholic schools, bringing together those who will have the most influence in crafting a Northern Ireland of the future, our children. People like Professor Cathal McLaughlin, whose prison's memory archive has impacted significantly on our policymakers dealing with sensitive legacy issues that are to the fore right now in Northern Ireland. People like Dominic Bryan, whose research explores rituals, symbols, and memory and how they influence identity and social space here. People like Frank Gaffigan, whose research focuses on the role of environmental planning in quite literally building a shared future society. And of course, we also have people like our Chancellor, Tom Moran, who was recently honoured by the Irish President in receiving the Presidential Distinguished Service Award for his work in peace, reconciliation and development across the world and here in Ireland. And last but by no means least, someone whom I mentioned earlier, John Brewer, whose research entitled Engagement with Civil Society, Compromise After Conflict, is enriching debates on the peace process and informing engagement with victim groups. That work of colleagues is very important. It is helping to change hearts and minds, both here at home, but also across the world. And without such drive, without that belief in by our staff that they can make a difference, not only here but around the world, many people would not be able to move on. I like to think of the impact of that work as Queen's Quiet Revolution, a revolution where the work of this university empowers people, empowers society, and allows them to deliver transformation and reconciliation. And I suspect our honoured guest this evening prefers to work in a very, very similar manner. In concluding tonight, I'm reminded of the words of Archbishop Tutu, who commented that when Nelson Mandela was released from prison, he surprised everybody because he talked about reconciliation, not revenge. And with that thought in mind, ladies and gentlemen, it now gives me great pleasure to invite the Archbishop of Canterbury to deliver tonight's lecture. Your Grace.